Do you have kaleidoscope eyes? If you don't yet, you will get them soon, because that's one of the things a college education is supposed to give you. Kaleidoscope eyes is an expression, and there's really no good English word to describe it. It's an expression to describe someone who's capable of looking at a big picture from multiple perspectives. This morning, I'd like to invite you to, with me, look at the big picture of Lent, Jesus on the cross, from several different perspectives. I'd like to look back at Jesus on the cross, and then forward at Jesus on the cross, and then at Jesus getting ready for the cross, and finally Jesus after the cross. We can do all of that on the basis of this reading before us this morning and a couple of other related passages. In this reading with St. Peter, we look back at Jesus on the cross as he wrote some 30 years after the event. And he says, Jesus himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. It's pretty clear, as St. Peter wrote this, that he had another passage from the Bible in mind, because he's practically quoting the words of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, written some 7 centuries before. And from Isaiah's perspective, we can look forward at Jesus on the cross. And he gives us a stark and revealing picture of what was going to happen to Jesus there. He says, and you'll recognize these familiar words from chapter 53, he has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Did you hear those words of Isaiah echoed here by Peter? By his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Peter has us looking back on Jesus on the cross. Isaiah has us looking forward at Jesus on the cross. And there's another related passage related to these that describes Jesus near the beginning of his ministry, already preparing to go to the cross. The evangelist Luke writes these words in his 4th chapter. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. For many people, this is the favorite image that they have of Jesus, our beloved Savior, as he walked around Capernaum that beautiful summer evening, walking and working among the cots and the stretchers of the people who were sick that had been brought to him and the demon-possessed, and he moved from one to the next. And as the shouts of joy arose from the one he just left, he'd move on to the next one, healing people. But what, you might wonder, does this beautiful evening scene have to do with Jesus on the cross? Well, the evangelist Matthew answers that question as he describes the very same incident in his 8th chapter. We read, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Now notice what Matthew goes on to say. He healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." Notice carefully what was really going on there that summer evening. When Jesus healed diseases, he didn't just magically wave them and make them go away. He was taking those diseases onto himself. As Matthew says, he took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And in the same way, when Jesus forgives our sins, he doesn't just magically wave them away. He takes those sins onto himself. As Peter says here, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And so no wonder Isaiah, looking ahead, has this stunning, realistic, spiritual view of Jesus, our Savior, on the cross, bearing all of our sins in his body, along with the effects of sin. We sing, "Beautiful Savior," but that wasn't the view of Isaiah nor of St. Peter. Isaiah says he's so ugly, we can't even look at him. When we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and as St. Peter repeats, with his stripes, the welts on his body, we are healed. This is the true spiritual view of our Savior on the cross for us. And to our relief, the passage before us finally turns our attention to one more perspective, and that is Jesus after the cross. And here Peter highlights what it was all for each individual, you and me, right now in our lives. Jesus, after the cross, brings two great gifts that flow to us. The first gift is the separation from our sins. Peter says, after Jesus on the cross, we are dead to sin. Nobody who is dead and in the grave sins. And Peter says, so far as sin is concerned, that's us. We're dead. After Jesus on the cross, we are separated from our sins. Those awful things are gone far from us, so that with this new life we have now in Jesus Christ, after the cross, we might live the right way, as Peter says, for righteousness. And the second gift, after Jesus on the cross, we have a new and wonderful relationship with God. We were like sheep going astray, he says. But now we have returned to whom? To the shepherd and overseer of our souls. We have a shepherd and overseer, someone who watches over us, who guards and protects us, who values and cares for us. I don't know if kaleidoscope eyes is the right term or not, but when we look at Jesus on the cross from multiple perspectives, looking back at him with St. Peter, looking forward at Jesus on the cross with Isaiah and with Luke and Mark and Matthew, we can be reassured that we have a God who cares and who keeps us safe. Nothing is more safe than what is committed to God. And after Jesus on the cross, we can commit our very selves, body and soul, to God, because we know that God is truly committed to us. Thanks be to God. Please rise for prayer. What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this, thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end? O, make me thine forever, And should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love for thee. Amen.